It's 4:06 and you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll explore the 500-year legacy of Latinos in America.
But first, it's time for our nostalgia segment where we look back at things from our past that still resonate with us today.
Our next guest caught a wave of nostalgia from a staple of the 1970s living room, the lava lamp. Believe it or not, the lava lamp turned 50 earlier this month, and although they're not quite as popular as they used to be, they still hold a special spot in our culture.
Kirk Baird is a writer and columnist for the Toledo Blade and recently wrote a column about his experience with the lava lamp. Kirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So you had a recent experience with the lava lamp. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I was... To be honest, I was trying to think of a column idea, and I came across, actually, someone coincidentally on NPR had mentioned they had heard on NPR about the lava lamp's 50th anniversary, and I thought, you know what, that's a great idea for a column, and next thing you know, I'm getting out the lava lamp, I'm watching it, and then my daughter, who's six, comes in, sits down and watches it with me, and I'm just kind of caught up in the moment of it all, and I thought, you know, this is exactly what it was, you know, like in the 70s, and here it is. You know, whatever it is, you know, 30, 40 years later, and, you know, I'm still caught up in it, and so is my daughter. It transcends generations and decades.
I want to key in on a phrase you just used. You got out the lava lamp, meaning at some point in your history, you packed away the lava lamp. How long has it been sitting in the closet or the attic?
It's actually my wife's lava lamp. She bought it in high school, and it's been packed away, I would say, probably for 20 years. 20 or 30 years. So it was just sitting in the basement on a china cabinet. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to get this thing out. You know, I had to get a new bulb for it. I had to plug it in, make sure it was still working. And it took several tries to get the wax to flow properly. But once it did, it was working as good as ever.
Yeah, one question is, how do you dispose of a lava lamp? Maybe that's why it was still
called
in your
hazmat
cabinet.
Team, yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what that stuff is inside the lava lamp. What is it?
It's wax. And I forget exactly what the kind of liquid that's inside. Basically you just take the normal lamp or the normal light bulb, a low wattage light bulb, and it heats the wax, and so that it kind of floats. It's kind of buoyant, and then as it heats up, it, you know, of course it rises, and once it gets to the top, where it's, you know, away from the lamp, then it cools down and then begins to sink again.
So your six-year-old, looking at the lava lamp, was she entranced by it, or was it pretty quick she wanted to get back to the Wii or whatever screen was lying around?
She was entranced by it, and that's what was so remarkable. You know, here she has, you know, myriad, devices that she can, you know, pick up at any moment, you know, my iPhone, TV, you know, do all these things, and she just sat down and just kind of zoned out on the lava lamp with me, and it was just kind of this really kind of cool daddy-daughter bonding moment over, you know, this kind of groovy icon of the 60s and 70s.
She said zoning out. Is that a good thing? is it like watching fish in an aquarium where it's fun for about 5 minutes and then it's time to do something more exciting?
Honestly, I think it was about 10, 15 minutes, and we were never bored. We were ooing and we were ooing and aahing at some of the different formations and watching it bubble up and drop. It was a lot of fun.
So some things from the 70s went away. Some come and go, disco, some of the fashion. Has the lava lamp come and gone? Does it keep coming back into style, maybe not as much as it once was?
Well, that's what's kind of interesting. I mean, it does have a history of coming back. I mean, it's still made by the same company. It's been around for 50 years. It came back in the 90s for a bit. But, you know, it's still sold at, like, you know, Spencer's. You can still buy it online at lavalamp.com. It's, you know, unlike so many other fads of the 60s and 70s, this one has never really completely gone away. And I think generations still kind of embrace it from time to time.
So what are, going back to the wax bubbles, what are they floating in? Is that stuff just water? It looks kind of oily.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I don't remember off the top of my head what exactly that is. I think it is some sort of like an oil or something that's in it. It's not just, you know, it's not just straight water. It's something that allows it, you know, to kind of have, again, to have that kind of buoyancy and also to, you know, that it kind of retains the heat and helps it heat up, but also allows it to get cool at the top.
Oh, so, and getting, you know, those little bubbles of wax to move around in there requires heat, like you just said. So does this mean lava lamps are kind of a hazard and you maybe wouldn't want one in your two-year-old's room at night?
My wife was really concerned, especially given the age of her lava lamp, about heating this thing up. She was worried that it was going to burn down the house. It gets a little hot, you know, the base, but, you know, as long as you don't have it next to anything, you know, flammable, I think you're fine. I mean, I had it on at one point for, you know, like 8 hours, and I touched it, and it was hot, you know, but it didn't burn me. I think you're okay.
Have you kept it out, or is it back in the basement now?
It is still out. We have it. I put it, much to my wife's chagrin, I put it in the niche over our fireplace.
Classy.
Exactly. And it's so, you know, we had this little, you know, like a little family statue, and I actually took that out and replaced it with a lava lamp. So it'll be there probably until we put up our Halloween decorations. Although kind of golden red, it kind of goes with Halloween, so maybe I can keep it up at least through, maybe even through Thanksgiving.
Do you have any idea where this thing came from? Who invented it?
Yeah, it was a British accountant by the name of Edward Craven Walker. And, you know, he was just kind of working on some things. And memory serves, he was kind of boiling some things. And then he noticed this kind of strange property with the wax. And he thought, you know, this is kind of interesting. You know, it's really kind of cool. And so he kind of, you know, worked on it some more, perfected it, and then proceeded to sell it. And then, you know, after, you know, by the late 60s, early 70s, it had taken off and just, you know, become, you know, the big fad that it was.
Do you think there was something in the air in the 60s and 70s in our minds that made lava lamps so appealing?
I mean, if by air you mean, you know, something, you know, maybe...
Literally or figuratively.
Figuratively, I mean, I think it was just, you know, it speaks to, you know, a different time when people, you know, things were slower. People could just, you know, could just kind of zone out on something, you know. And I think that's what I was so impressed with it now is that it did. I mean, it did sort of still resonate with my daughter and frankly with me. I mean, I'm a product of, you know, the 2000s now. I mean, I keep my iPhone with me everywhere I go. And that's what I found somewhere. If I didn't feel the urge to pick up my iPhone and look at the 4-inch screen, I was fully focused on the lava lamp for 10 or 15 minutes, and I didn't miss not being connected with the world. I enjoyed having that kind of zen-like moment of just being there and just kind of just enjoying what was going on.
So you found the antidote to our screen-filled culture, the lava lamp.
Exactly.
Maybe. I kind of associate them with bachelor pads and not necessarily unsavory things, but sort of that cheesy shag carpeting and, you know, in a young guy's place. Is that unfair? Were they more egalitarian than that?
I mean, I remember them, you know, from like, you know, my grandparents, my parents had them. And then I think it sort of did kind of, you know, maybe unfairly develop this association as, you know, this kind of, you know, in the bachelor pad, type setting. But, you know, I mean, yes, when I was a bachelor, I did have a lava lamp myself. It was just kind of, you know, it was decorative and it was kind of fun. But I mean, you know, again, I don't want to call it family entertainment, but, but it is. I mean, it's something that everybody can just kind of sit down and enjoy. It's actually, and even if it's just kind of like a sort of in the background, just kind of running, kind of doing its thing, it's still a nice little distraction. And people, I had a neighbor come over over the weekend, and he looked at it. He said, "Oh my God, it's a lava lamp!" And he kind of freaked out about it, and he was really excited about it. So, I mean, it still catches our attention. People still really are into the lava lamps.
Kirk, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
We've been talking lava lamps with Kirk Baird, writer and columnist for the Toledo Blade. And if you have a lava lamp story, if you have a picture of one functioning in your home or workplace, go to the Central Time Facebook page and share it with us.
What kind of workplace is that?
I don't know. Well, I've heard there used to be one in the What Do You Know offices till a certain person knocked it over.
That's the problem. All right. Well, coming up next, it's part two of our series on the 50th anniversary of the Gideon versus Wainwright Supreme Court ruling. And then we'll take a look at the history of Latinos in America. I'm Veronica Rickert.
I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.